Welcome to Storytelling for Impact, the podcast about people who tell stories that change the world. I'm Susanna Birkwood, an international journalist turned NGO communications professional with over a decade's experience working for some of the world's best-known media and not-for-profit organisations. In this special bonus episode, we'll be hearing from Ian Overton, investigative journalist, foreign correspondent, and our guest for episode 4 of Storytelling for Impact, getting his advice on how to get into this area of journalism. There'll be no questions from me this time. It's purely advice from Ian. Enjoy.
I've spent quite a lot of my life trying to encourage young journalists to write, to get engaged. And yes, sometimes in the early stages, you have to do it as a volunteer because you need to have a portfolio of work in order to prove yourself that you can be a writer. But I'm always looking for volunteers. I've probably got 15 volunteers working for me at AOAV, 10 volunteers working for me with all the citizens. And I invest a lot of time there. But I'm also happy to have coffee with people and just to give them ideas of how to go. And one of the main things, it isn't supporting my work, but it is in the greater scheme, is I often say to journalists, you know, wannabe journalists, either you can consider doing a postgraduate, and I also teach occasionally at City University as well as Birkbeck. So there's City and Birkbeck who offer postgraduate courses. But on top of that, I also recommend going and learning a language. You know, I've recommended it to a number of people and they've gone and done it, that they've gone to somewhere like Cairo and learned Arabic, or gone to Beirut and learned Arabic, which is very useful, or gone to Mexico City and learned Spanish. You know, identify where human rights abuses are most likely to occur. Go and learn the language. Go and immerse yourself in the experience. Start filing. Start reporting. The ultimate way, in order to be a conflict reporter, you have to go to conflicts. And that's a hard truth. And it's particularly hard for younger women, because not only do they have the necessary violence of the nature of the conflict, but then you've obviously got gender-related violence as well. And I don't have an easy answer for that. But although I've got plenty of friends who are female conflict reporters, or conflict reporters who are women, I would just say that it is an absolute need for democracy to thrive, for people to challenge abuses that are conducted in its name. And it's not just about recording the suffering of people over there, but it's about establishing the connection between their suffering and the actions, not only of our purchasing decisions, but also the actions of the government that we elect back here. So, and as well, it's about addressing truths of violence in our own communities, in our own lives. I think that there needs to be more research and writing about why men are almost invariably the perpetrators of violence. I think that that's a new area that needs to be examined much more, because we've often talked about the victims of violence, but I'm very interested in the perpetrators of violence. I think there needs to be more discussion around the intersection between conflict change and violence. And I think we're going to be entering a period where water resources and conflict-driven tragedies will fuel migratory populations. And that in itself will then lead to rising levels of violence. We're already seeing it in places like Ethiopia. And I think there needs to also be a profound concerted efforts to challenge unthinking nationalism, you know, sort of bellicose nationalism. That there's been this recent sea change in Britain where the flag has become dominant in political discussion. We keep on hearing from defense chiefs around how they want to have lots and lots of military action around the world. For what purpose, they're not even properly explained. And China is increasingly being presented as the big, bad person on the horizon, just as Russia once was and the Taliban and ISIS and Islamists were. And I fear that nationalism unchecked leads more likely towards military engagement. A military engagement in the 21st century invariably causes civilian casualties. And so I think it's important that younger people considering journalism might want to consider how do you address not only the how do you get to places overseas where hard truths may be being realized. So, for instance, visiting places where RAF bombers have dropped bombs in Syria and Iraq, I think is really important, but is also very dangerous. But also writing to your MP, interviewing people, calling out that bombing campaign because it just goes unreported in British press. And I think that that's a constant struggle and a constant need. But, you know, just as the Washington Post says, democracy dies in darkness, I think nationalism rises in darkness too. And my experiences around the world of conflict is that nationalism is one of the greatest drivers of civilian deaths in the world.
So there you have it, Ian's top tips for being an investigative journalist and foreign correspondent. I hope you found this bonus episode useful. If you haven't already heard it, please do check out episode 4 of Storytelling for Impact for much more from Ian on his adventures and reflections from a career which has taken him to more than 80 countries around the world. The next full episode of Storytelling for Impact is out on May 21st. I'll see you then.